Good, great.
Awesome.
Awesome, okay. Awesome. Okay, so you know me already. Anytime someone got baptized, it's a fantastic day, a fantastic weekend. So someone entered into the kingdom of God, and I am thrilled and over the moon. I don't know about you, but there are some more souls that Jesus is looking at. There's some more souls that we're going to see take that plunge before the year is out, in Jesus' name. Do you believe that with me? Are you excited about that with me? Yes? Okay. Yes. Would you turn with me tonight in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3? We'll be reading from verse 5 to verse 8. And then after that, we're going to take a leap over to Jeremiah chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 8. Are you ready? Let's read together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 17. And this is just a coincidence. We will be reading from verse 5 to 8 once again, purely by coincidence. Let's read together. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I'm going to speak for the next few moments tonight on the topic, traces of a trusting heart. Traces of a trusting heart. Would you pray with me tonight? Jesus, we love you. We thank you that we're able to come into your presence tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll have your way among us tonight, that you'll help me not to speak tonight by my own wisdom, by my own ability or intellect, but that every word that I say tonight will be said in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Lord, I pray that you would have your way. Do whatever it is that you want to do in us, Lord God. But when we leave here tonight, let us be a little bit more closer to you, a little bit more like you. We lift you up, we magnify you, and we glorify your wonderful name, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated tonight. For Christians, trusting God is supposed to be a way of life. It's supposed to be, well, the way that we do life. It really doesn't matter what life might look like, whether it's going well or everything seems to be going wrong. It's just supposed to be what we do. It really is just supposed to be the way we roll. In fact, it's what Jesus wants. It's really simple. He wants us to love him, and he wants us to trust him. Every day of our lives, through every circumstance that we find. For some of us, it's easiest to trust him while things are going wrong. It's almost like we get to that point in life where, well, everything is going wrong, so I sort of have no choice, and I have no other hope, and so in desperation, we draw closer to Jesus. The opposite is also true, of course, but the fact is that life is not always going to be difficult, and there is the danger of putting our trust in everything else when things seem to be going well. My life is going well. I have everything I want. There's nothing I really need right now, so I'm going to trust in what I see. I'm going to trust in what I have. I don't really need to go closer to Jesus. You might have things to deal with here and there, but they seem to be things that really you can handle. They're just okay. You don't really need much help, nothing big, nothing that seems to make you feel like, hey, okay, I need God's help right now. In 1 Chronicles chapter 5, three of the Israelite tribes went out to fight against the Hagrites. And the Bible says that they were valiant men. They were skilled in war. And in the middle of the fight, when everything is going on, the Bible says that they cried out to God. It was a cry of desperation to God in the middle of a bad situation, in the moment where it seems like their very lives were on the line. They cried out to God. It was the logical thing to do. The Bible says that God heard them and God helped them for one reason and one reason only, because they placed their trust in God. In fact, they won a great battle that day. The spoils of war was theirs, including 100,000 men. It was God's war simply because they cried out to him in trust in the middle of the battle. But after this, life seemed to be going pretty well. They found themselves in a place where it somehow didn't really seem necessary to cry out to God anymore. They weren't in the middle of the battle anymore. They weren't in the middle of a tight place anymore, and their life was not on the line anymore. The immediate danger of war was gone. And if we go down to verse 25 of 1 Chronicles 5, it says that they transgressed against the God of their fathers and went a whoring after the gods of the people of the land whom God destroyed before them. If we go down to verse 26, it tells us that God then stirred up the spirit of the king of Assyria to come and carry them away. In a desperate situation, they had placed their trust in God. They reached out to him and he helped them. But then they landed in a place that it looks like they could handle it. It seemed like, well, nothing is coming against us. We have a great reputation. Life is going pretty well. But somehow they didn't seem to think that we need God desperately anymore. It wasn't necessary to trust in God anymore. And they turned their hearts to the idols of the land. Proverbs 21 and 31 says that the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to God. Sometimes if we are not careful, it will look like everything is going pretty well. We feel strong. We feel like, okay, now I can handle this situation. Life, there's some stuff going on in life that I'm dealing with, but it's nothing too hard. It's nothing like the battle I fought last year. Now that battle that I fought last year, I really needed God's help with that. I had no choice but to call on God. But right now, this is all right. Life is pretty good. I can handle it. I'm taking care of my business. You may feel strong. You may feel prepared to take care of whatever life has for you today. But then you somehow forget that regardless of your ability and your strength, the victory belongs to God. There is no true success without God. The time to start trusting in God is not when life starts to get rough. The time to start trusting in God is every day, regardless of what it's going like. We make trusting in God a way of life. It's the way that we live every day. It doesn't really matter what is going on. If I get up today and life is good, guess what? I'm a trust in Jesus. If I get up tomorrow and life is not going so well, well then guess what? I'm a trust in Jesus anyways. The victory is the Lord. It doesn't matter how strong you feel, how great your life is. The victory is always the Lord's. It doesn't matter how weak you may feel, how many bumps may seem to be appearing in your way. The victory is still the Lord. Your hope is always in Jesus. Trust as a way of life. It's how we roll. In our opening scripture, Jeremiah chapter 17 and 5 said, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Cursed is the man that trusts in man. And then he makes man his strength. He relies on man. Man carries him. He depends on man. His full assurance is man. And then his heart departs from the Lord. There is a progression here. And what it tells me is that where I put my trust, that's where my heart is going to go. Verse 6 goes on to tell us that this man is like a heath or a shrub in the desert. And he really doesn't see when any good comes. What good is rain to a bush that's dried up and dead in the desert? What good is the faithfulness of God to the heart that's departed from the Lord? What good is the strength of the Lord to the person that trusts in everything else but Jesus? If we're going to make it through life, we must learn to trust in Jesus every day, through the good and through the bad. Sometimes it can be equally as difficult to trust God through the bad times because your heart is telling you to trust Him. But your mind is telling you all the reasons why you shouldn't trust Him. The circumstances that you see in your life is telling you all the reasons why you shouldn't trust Jesus. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, we simply need to remind ourselves why we can trust our God. What is it about God that tells us we can trust Him? Well, there are some things that make God, God. There are things that don't change. There are constants. They're immutable. First of all, God is not a man that He should lie. He is the very embodiment of truth. Sometimes we unknowingly project what we know of people unto God. People have lied to us in the past, so we can't trust God. People have hurt us in the past, so we can't trust God. We've been disappointed by the people that we were depending on before, so maybe I can't trust God. Throughout my life, I've seen people change. One day they're for me, the next day they're not. So maybe I can't trust God. We might not actually say it as Christians. We might not actually think that thought as Christians, but have we actually ever behaved that way? But every word of God is true. Every promise that He makes will come to pass, and every offer that He presents to us will be given, because He is not a man. He cannot lie. It's not that He won't lie. It's not that He chooses not to lie. It's not that He might not lie. God cannot lie. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, before they cross over to Canaan, God says to Israel, hey, when you get into the land that I'm about to bring you into, and I cast out all the enemies before you, don't stop and say it's because of your goodness, it's because of your righteousness why I brought you into this land. Don't say that. Because that's not the reason why you're going into this land. You're going into this land because of two things. The wickedness of the nations in front of you, and because I made a promise to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He goes on to call them a stiff-necked or a stubborn people. They don't deserve to go into the land. They've never quite obeyed God. They never quite loved God. But somehow He said, hey, I gotta keep a promise because I am not a liar. He says, you gotta change your ways. When you go into this land, you're gonna have to do some things differently. And there are gonna be some consequences if you don't change your ways. But don't think you're there because of anything you did. When you look back, remember that the only reason you made it into the land is because I made a promise. You can trust God because He cannot lie. We can trust Him even when to the eyes it looks like we shouldn't. When circumstances or people try to tell us that we should not trust God because, well, He will always have our best interest at heart. But why will God always have our best interest at heart? Because He loves you. He loves you and He loves me with an unending love. But more than loving us, God is the very definition of love. He is love. It's just a part of who He is. Yes, He is a God of judgment, but He is also a God of love. He is the very embodiment of love. Romans 8:28 tells us that everything is going to work for our good as long as we do two things. We love him back and that we are called according to his purpose. It doesn't mean that everything in life is always going to be good. Not everything in your life is going to be the way you want it. You're going to feel some pain sometimes. You're going to feel some discomfort sometimes. You're going to feel like you're drowning under the weight of life sometimes. But brothers and sisters, in the middle of it, we can trust him. Because he's always going to work something good out of it. The good might not be what we want. The good might be we come out of it a little bit kinder. It might be that we learn to make better decisions. The good might be the person looking at you and saying, hey, I want to serve her God. I want to serve his God. The good might be drawing you a little bit closer to Jesus. It might be relying on him so much that you move from an ankle-deep anointing to a waist-deep anointing. Whatever it is, he is always working something good out of every situation because he simply loves you. He loves you. And because of that, you can rely on him. Why can we trust God? Because he has the power to do what we cannot. He has the power to do what he said he would do. He is the all-powerful God, after all. Job 26 says, hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne, and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath encompassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? Is there anything too hard for a God? I don't think so. We can trust him, brothers and sisters. We can trust him. You can trust God because of who he is, but you can trust God because he has a track record. Just take a look at the Bible and you'll see that he has a track record of delivering his people. Remember when I brought you out of Egypt. If you'd look back over your life, you'd see that he has a track record of delivering you as well. Do you remember when he brought you out of the world? When he brought you out of sin? When he delivered you with a great deliverance? Our God has a track record of taking care of his people. Remember the 40 years in the desert. Your clothes didn't wear out. Your sandals didn't wear out. There wasn't even a blister on your feet. I'm sure there are some people in the room tonight that could testify the same way that Sister Ashby always testifies. My Jesus is always taking care of me. He has a track record of answering the prayers of his people. King Hezekiah was sick, and the prophet Isaiah goes to him, and he says, the Lord says, get your affairs in order. You're going to die. Hezekiah was a man that had always trusted in the Lord. And until this time, he had made it a habit of doing things God's way. And after hearing that he's going to die, Hezekiah's response is to turn his face to the wall and cry out to God. Remember how I've walked before you in truth, and with a perfect heart have I done all that is good in your sight. God's reply is, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. And behold, I will add 15 years to your days. He has a track record of forgiving his people. After committing adultery and murder and hearing the judgments of God, I'll raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I'll take thy wives from before in thine eyes and give them to thy neighbor. King David tells the prophet Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. This is the same instance where this King David wrote Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The prophet says to David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. I wonder if we thought about it. How many times have God forgiven us? How many times have he poured his mercy liberally in our lives? How many times have you stood hopelessly beneath the cross? Hallelujah, Jesus. And the precious blood that he had washed your sins away into the sea of forgetfulness. Our God has a track record of forgiving his people. If you'd look through the Bible, you'd see the track record of a God that stood by his people. He was faithful to them. He blessed them. He provided for them. He protected them as long as they trusted in him and made him their strength and their shield. Noah made it through the earth's destruction because he believed in a God. He trusted in a God and he relied upon a God. Abraham made it, lived his whole life, not knowing where he was going from one moment to the other, simply because he trusted a God that said, I'm taking you somewhere. You might not know where he's taking you tonight. You might not know what tomorrow is going to bring. But brothers and sisters, tonight, will you make up your mind? I'm going to trust the God that says he's taking me somewhere. Job, having lost everything he had and everyone that he cared about, could sit in a pile of ashes and scratch his open sores and said, yet, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It might not look good right now, but I'm going to trust him. I might not understand what life is bringing to me right now, but I'm going to trust him. You might not know what tomorrow is going to bring, but brothers and sisters, will you trust him? Life might be giving you some stuff that you didn't ask for, you didn't want, and you want it to leave. But will you trust him through it? Oh, shut up. Hallelujah. If you came to church tonight feeling like you don't quite know if it's worth it to keep trusting God, I mean, what's the point anyways? The world seems to be doing all right. All you have to do is take a look around this room. Because I guarantee you that someone here would have a testimony about the faithfulness of God. Would have a testimony about that time he came through for you. That time he protected you. He provided for you. He forgave you. He healed you. It's worth it to trust in God. I actually only have one point and one point only tonight. Trust God. Make up in your mind that you're going to trust him. When you leave here tonight, will you say, I'm going to trust God? When you wake up tomorrow, will you say, I'm going to trust God? My hope is in him. I'm relying on him because Jesus is really my only option. The Merriam-Webster definition of trust is an assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. If we're not going to trust God, then who exactly are we going to trust? Who else has the character that God has? Tell me someone as powerful as our God. Tell me someone that has his power and his ability to perform every promise, every word. Tell me, is there anyone that can love you quite the way Jesus can love you? He gave his life for you as the evidence of that unfailing love. Who else has a track record that compares to God's track record? There really is no other viable option because our very salvation depends on being able to trust God. Because where our trust goes, our heart goes. If we're going to trust in the world, rely on the world, put our hope in the world, then your heart is going to go after the things of the world. You're going to start to drift until life starts to get a little bit hot and you realize that you're a lot like the world. No life, no hope, no future. Jeremiah 17 and 6, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Who are you trusting in tonight? Your life could be going great. Everything in your life could be just the way you want it to be right now. Or you might be having a little bit of struggles. You might be feeling like you're walking through hell. The question is the same tonight. Who do you trust? Who are you relying on? Who are you hoping in? Who are you counting on? The psalmist said that some trust in chariots, and some they're going to trust in horses. But we will remember the name of our God. Will you say tonight that some may be trusting in the world, some may be trusting in money, some may be trusting in what they can see, some may be trusting in the people around them, some may be trusting in their house, their car, their job, but tonight, brothers and sisters, will you say, but I'm going to remember the name of my God. When we trust in God, we become like a tree that is planted by the waters, deep, strong roots that's connected and dependent on Him. When life gets a little dry and it seems like nothing is happening, when it looks like there's a drought happening in your life, guess what? You won't stop being like Him. You won't stop getting closer to Him. You won't stop producing fruits in your life because you're grounded. John 15 and 5 says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, ye can do nothing. We know we need to trust in God. And we know why we need to trust in God, but how do we go about developing a lifestyle of trust in Him? It's not new, it's simple. We draw close to Him. The closer we get to Jesus, the easier it is to trust in Him, because He's going to prove you every day. The more we see His character, the easier it is to trust in Him, because we're going to see that He is the unchanging God. The more we touch His heart, the easier it is to hope in Him. It's the old tried and true. The prescription is not going to change. You get into His Word. You get His Word in your heart. And then you walk it out in your life in simple obedience. Prove Him and He'll always show you that you can trust Him. You get to know His voice. You talk to God a little bit. You listen to God a little bit. And then you go about doing what He said. There is no other way, brothers and sisters, to get close to God. There is no other way to build trust in God. There is no other way to abide. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts to abiding in Jesus. When you abide in Jesus, it gives new meaning to the words. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to trust Him upon His promise, just as know, thus saith the Lord. You can walk through anything and still say, thank you, Jesus. You can face anything in life and still say, Lord, I bless your name. Everything might seem to be crumbling around you, but still you will sit there and you will say, God, you are good. You are good. You are good. One night at a revival meeting, a young man stood up and gave a testimony about some things that was going on in his life. He was going through some pretty difficult things, but at the end of this rather long testimony, he simply says, but, I'm going to trust in Jesus. And the psalmist went home and wrote the words, trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The closer you get to Jesus, the easier it becomes to trust him. He'll never fail you. He'll never change. You just have to put a little trust in him. You just have to lean in a little bit to him. Put a little bit of weight on him. Put a little bit of your burdens on him. Put a little bit of your trials on him. Just trust him a little bit. A little bit. The closer you get to Jesus, the easier it is to trust him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and tomorrow and forever. Draw close to him. Obey his voice. Walk out his word in your life. Put your hope in him. Rely on him a little bit more. And every day as you look at your life, you will begin to see the traces of a trusting heart. It's the marks over your life that you could look back and see the track record that God has created. When you look back, you'll see the times where you trusted him and he came through. The times where you trusted him and he protected you. The times where you trusted him and he provided for you. The times when you felt like no one had your back, but you put a little bit of trust in Jesus. The traces of a trusting heart. You look back and you see the track record of God in your life. Every time you chose to lean on him, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Will you lean on him a little bit more tonight? Will you trust him just a little bit more tonight? Will you allow him to make those track records in your life? As you begin to trust him with your heart, the music can come back. I'm almost finished. The Alpine events are some of the most popular events at the Winter Paralympic Games. For the visually impaired, the process of learning how to compete in these alpine events is quite interesting, particularly the slalom. So the slalom, in case you're not familiar, it's literally downhill skiing, so it's gonna be a pretty huge mountain, and they've got gates scattered all over the mountain, and as you go down the mountain, you literally have to go around these gates. But for a visually impaired person, the process of learning how to do that is quite interesting. They start on a flat surface. And they practice two things. They focus on two things and two things only. Learning how to turn left and learning how to turn right. They practice it for hours. This is how I turn left. This is how I turn right. This is how I turn left. This is how I turn right. It might look a little bit mundane, but they practice it until they're able to do it like nobody's business. Then they go up to the top of the hill and they have a guide. A guide is another skier that can see. And as they go down the hill, the guide is just a few meters in front of this visually impaired skier. And the skier is listening for two words. The guide will say left, turn left. The guide says right, they turn right. All the way down this hill, at speeds up to 100 kilometers an hour, a visually impaired person is going down this hill with two words. Left, right. Left, right. In order to come down or to make it down the bottom of that hill, this athlete has two options. Complete trust or complete disaster. Complete trust means you make it alive. You finish the race. You might not win, but you're standing. You can be proud. You gave it a good shot. Complete trust means you make it. Complete disaster, you don't finish. More than not finishing, complete disaster could mean that athlete's life and the guide's life as well. Would you stand with me tonight, please? We're on a journey. Paul called it a race. Might not have skis on, but we're headed somewhere. We're not just going through this life aimlessly. We're going through it with purpose because there is an ultimate destination at the other end. At the other end, there's an ultimate destination, and Jesus is our guide. He is the one that's a few meters in front of us, saying left, right, left, right. Sometimes as we're going through this journey, it might feel like, well, we're on a pretty flat surface. It's going all right. No biggie. On that flat surface, do you know what you got to do when life is going good? You got to practice trusting Him. You got to practice hearing Jesus say, left, I'm going to turn left. Right, I'm going to turn right. My life is not on the line. I'm not in a dangerous situation. But Jesus is speaking to us in those good times. In the times where we seem like life's going all right, Jesus is speaking to us, and we need to learn to trust Him. We need to practice hearing His voice, hearing the lefts and hearing the rights. Because you know why? There are going to be times in your life where you feel like you're flying blindly 100 kilometers an hour down a hill. And in those times, it's going to be complete trust or complete disaster. But if you learn and you practiced turning left and turning right on a flat surface, when everything was good, you trusted in Jesus. When you didn't really have a big need in your life, you relied on Him. You had a full assurance in His character. Guess what? When you get to the top of that hill and you start to fly down, your eyes are closed, you're blind, it's dangerous, but all you're listening to is the voice of Jesus. You just want to hear Him say left so you can turn left. You're going to trust in Jesus because it's not enough to hear His voice. We have to trust His voice. Complete trust means we make it to the other end standing. He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The other option is complete disaster. I wonder tonight, will you trust Him a little bit more? Doesn't matter what the circumstances of your life is tonight, will you just trust Jesus a little bit more? Will you wake up tomorrow and say, I'm gonna practice my left, and I'm gonna practice my right. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm going to trust His voice. And when I need Him the most, His voice will never be too far away. Because we already know how to hear it. We already know how to recognize it. And most importantly, we know how to trust it. The altar is open tonight. I wonder, will you find a place to pray and simply say, Jesus, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You a little bit more. I'm going to rely on you. I'm going to hope in you because you are my only viable option in this race. Let's find a place to pray tonight.